listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Perhaps we will see Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner jerseys at the Team Shop, so keep an eye out for that. Wanted to let people know that you, Josh McCown has signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the backup quarterback who played very well for the Chicago Bears last year, signing now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He'll compete with Mike Glennon. The Bucs, remind you, are on the Browns' 2014 schedule. That's why I don't like the NFC South. I thought Atlanta did a good job addressing their line. Tampa made some good moves. The Saints obviously brought in Bird. The NFC South was pretty active yesterday. The only team that seems to be gutted is Carolina. Everybody on their line's retiring, and Steve Smith is out.
Right. And you look at that, and it does seem like Dave Gettleman, we talked a little bit prior to all of this and just tried to get a feel for what his thinking was going in. But I'll tell you what, they're going to have to lean very heavily on the draft to fill some big holes for a team that found itself, you know, in contention, felt good about where they were, and now, you know, who knows where it lands. But Denver, it's just been an amazing run of how much they've spent. This is beyond aggressive, and it's reminding people of the days when the Washington Redskins would spend this kind of money, except the Redskins didn't have Peyton Manning on their team. They hadn't been to the Super Bowl. I mean, right. There's so many things that sort of add up with this type of short-term look that they're having. But I'll tell you what, it's got to produce a Super Bowl. If they're not in the Super Bowl and not winning it, I don't know what to say about John Elway and company after next season. They've got a lot of splaining to do after that.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure. And listen, woo. You got Peyton, who's up there in age, and the guys you brought in, DeMarcus Ware has missed significant time the last few years. Aqib Talib has missed significant time the last few years. So it's not a sure thing. We talked about T.J. Ward has missed 10 games in the last 4 years. DeMarcus Ware, when you look at him, he's a guy who missed last year, battled some injury, missed 3 games last year. And then, of course, Aqib Talib, who was kind of the reclamation project. Let's not forget when he went to New England. This was a guy last year with that corner market who couldn't get a long-term deal. Aqib Talib missed 5 games in 2010, 3 in 2011, 6 in 2012, and 3 again last year. And by the way, got knocked out of both of the last 2 AFC championship games with injury. So there's some risk there in $60 million guaranteed with that trio.
Oh, yeah, there is a lot of risk there. There is no question about it.
It's a paradigm shift. I mean, it is literally Super Bowl championship or bust for that team.
Super Bowl championship, right. Just getting there, hey, they got there, and then they got pounded. So now this is the way to say, okay, folks, this is what we're doing, or to yourselves or to Peyton Manning. And again, this is all done with that in mind. I mean, this is a very different – no one else – is in this position. No other team can say the same thing the Broncos can say about how they're set up and their approach to things. Let's go to Greg in Garfield Heights. Greg, what do we got?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, our line is in big jeopardy here, our offensive line. How do we address that? Are there guys out there that we could still get that could contribute? And how deep is the draft as far as addressing this problem?
Well, we talked in the last segment a little bit about the draft. Certainly at guard, there are options to draft there. In fact, some people have called Xavier Suafilo, thinks he'll come in the league and be the best guard in the league immediately when drafted. David Yankee of Stanford's very good. There will be opportunities in the first 4 picks or first 5 picks of the Browns to bring in a guard fully with the expectation that he will come in and start right away. Brandon Thomas from Clemson, Dakota Dozier from Furman, Cyril Richardson from Baylor as well. So I think there's an expectation that they can address that. But I don't disagree with you. Right now, as I see it, the Browns do have a big hole at right guard. And can Pinkston fill in there? Maybe. But he's had health issues. We know he's battled those last couple of seasons. We need depth there. I'd feel much better about him in a backup role. Greco needs to step it up. We need a guard. And whether or not they address that in free agency, maybe they do at a smaller level on a depth level. But I think you're going to see the Browns have to attack that position in the draft.
Tony joins us now on a sell. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
You
know, what I'm looking at here, I don't think the Browns made too good of a move with these two guys they signed. First, they got rid of Ward, and it's like a trade-off, and they got the guy from San Francisco, okay? They're not gaining anything there. In fact, they might be losing a little bit because Ward is younger. He seems to be coming into his own. And then you got how much better is the linebacker they got than who we probably going to be a little bit better. But we're not improving that
better,
much.
Though, I would say.
You know, we're not improving that much. And if we lose to center, Mac, and we got no right guard, what do we have? We better come up with something in the draft or the Browns are in the same old boat again.
Well, Tony, thanks for the call. I don't agree that they got worse with these moves. At the very least, these moves balance themselves off. And I think I'm inclined to agree, or I'm more than inclined, I agree with Nathan that at the linebacker spot especially, I think Dansby, even though he's a couple of years older than Jackson, gives you
plays
better
like a
coverage.
Man.
Yeah, it gives you better coverage. It's the ability to move and instinctiveness to cover and mirror guys that have to be there. The coverage was a liability at both inside spots last year. Jackson and Craig Robertson had struggled. They struggled badly there, and that was a problem that teams exploited. I think it's fair to say that Dansby takes some of that away. As far as Whitner is concerned, I think you get a better coverage safety. How much do you sacrifice in the way of run support that you might lose from Ward remains to be seen, and we'll see how big of a problem that proves to be. But I also think it speaks to how this front itself plays and the reliance on this front being better and coached up and Petten's scheme being different than what they did before and maximizing what you get out of these people. But I will agree with Tony's point about the draft. You need to hit some home runs there.
Yes.
At the offensive line spot is probably one. I would not hate seeing another linebacker come in there, and I think we'll see that as well. Obviously, we talked even higher on the list of needs, receiver, running back, somewhere along the lines. We'll see where things go, if they go at all, with a Ben Tate in free agency. But I think this team, in all likelihood, is going to do the prudent thing with running game and the less expensive thing with running game and get a young guy that fits the system and work with what they also already have in Edwin Baker.
Right, and I think we could see, again, multiple additions at running back, one in free agency, one in the draft, multiple additions at receiver, one or two in free agency, one or two in the draft. But the point about the line is right. I think, again, just for people to remember and keep this in mind, forget what you're hoping to get out of Carlos Dansby is a difference maker and a playmaker that we have not had in the middle. And again, I'll just kind of cite a couple of the playmaking stats, okay? Dequell Jackson last year, one interception, 1.5 sacks, 8 passes defensed. Carlos Dansby, 23 passes defensed, most among any linebacker, 6.5 sacks, most among any inside linebacker, 4 interceptions, most among inside linebackers. He is a difference maker, a playmaker, and that's what you're going to hope to get for out of him for a couple of years. And yes, Dequell Jackson is 2 years younger than he is, but he plays like an older guy in terms of his ability to cover. And also, he's about 4 inches shorter than Carlos Dansby. That matters when you're covering big tight ends over the middle of the field, forcing
sure.
quarterbacks to elevate their throw to get it over you. It disrupts a passing game when you create a narrower or a smaller window for a quarterback to throw in. Clearly, the coaches and the GM of this team, I would say if there's one thing that you can take away from the way this went down, safety position, decided that they thought the skill set of the safety that they wanted in this defense was much more Dante Whitner than it was T.J. Ward, and I think it's just that plain and simple.
Yeah, it was. It was a preference, a football preference being made on the skill level that these guys present. Look, I'm not standing up on a hill. I'm not shouting from the mountaintops
no.
that the Browns killed it in free agency, that they've done great things that will make a dramatic difference for this football team. But I never expected that to be this kind of a free agency run. I know that's what's had some people complaining and saying, well, you know, they just got some older guys here. Yeah, we recognize the names, but what did they really do? But I'm not there either. I think they've made methodical improvement here. We'll see how it all fits. All the pieces have to fit together. The idea that the Browns were going to go into free agency and get someone who would just flip things over and make an incredible difference, it was never going to happen in my mind. And Jarris Bird's name is the one that people got excited about. You hear Darrell Revis and any flirtation with him, and there's excitement there. And I understand why there's excitement with those two types of players, but I didn't see the Browns going down those roads, because I think there is a much bigger picture for them to address. And it includes the fact that they have some talent on this football team that they're going to pay and keep here. And that's Joe Hayden, and that's Josh Gordon, and that's Jabal Sheard. And it's not it's not coincidental that those three guys were on the private plane that went to pick up Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner.
I could not agree more. That's right. And I like that unity of the new and the guys that are the future coming together in both respects, the guys who have been signed and the guys who are going to be three of the pillars of this team in Hayden, Sheard, Gordon, guys who I expect over the next 2 years to all three be locked up to long-term deals. I like that for the Browns. Final thoughts on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, when Vic and I return here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Down to the trap, you see.